I'm going to talk about the current status of the Borexino experiment on behalf of the Borexino collaboration. I will start with the talk outline, and I will introduce, first of all, Borexino at a glance. I will then talk about the detector status and commissioning. I will offer an update on the Borexino physics, and then switch to the background issues and goals, briefly touching on the projected sensitivity of the experiment. I will conclude with Borexino at Gran Sasso. What is the future? The main aim of Borexino is the detection and real-time measurement of low-energy solar neutrinos. And for that purpose, the main reaction used is a scattering of neutrinos on electrons in a liquid organic scintillators. Borexino has an active mass of 300 tons of liquid scintillator, of which the inner 100 represent the fiducial mass. The experiment houses as well two quenched buffer based on an organic solvent for a combined mass of 900 tons, and a water screen against the environmental radioactivity of 2,200 tons. 2,200 inner PMTs look at the scintillator, providing an optical coverage of 30%. And the detector is located at Gran Sasso Lab at a depth corresponding with a residual muon flux of 1 per square meter per hour. I would also like to mention that for the observation of solar neutrinos, we have a software threshold of 250 keV due to the presence of carbon-14 in the scintillator. And this is a typical spectrum that you could see from the beryllium-7 neutrinos. Keeping in mind that beryllium-7 neutrinos are monoenergetic, you would expect to see in the spectrum, in the energy spectrum of the diffused electron, a sharp Compton-like edge at around 650 keV. The detector status. As most of you probably know, Borexino has been operating in a restricted mode since the incident happened on date August 16, 2002. In the meanwhile, the collaboration has actively been keeping up with the work, and all of the structures of the experiment have been finished. All of the purification plants have been completed. The whole set of the inner PMTs have been installed and tested, and the electronics for the data acquisition has been fully commissioned and calibrated. In fact, we can say that Borexino as a spectrometer already works very well. What is shown here is some preliminary data from an air run taken in December of 2003 with a radon source, a little ampoule with scintillator placed at the center of the detector and in several positions afterwards. You can see here alpha peaks from the three alphas of the radon chain and the reconstructed decay curve from the 214 bismuth polonium coincidence of the radon decay chain. Last significant step in the installation of Borexino was the installation of the nested set of nylon vessels. We have two nylon vessels, two thin membrane, concentrical. One of them separates the scintillator from the buffer. The second one separates physically the buffer in two different regions and is also used to slow down the penetration of radon in regions closer to the inner vessel itself, to the active mass. The inner vessel, this vessel sets, have been installed in February of this year, and they've been inflated in April of this year. They are now fully inflated and already operational. They've been completely tested and checked, and they've seemed to meet or exceed every single mechanical design specification, including the one for total rig rate, ready to be operated with scintillator. The detector status, the stainless steel sphere of Borexino has been closed on June 9, and the last section of the muon vito, which was waiting for this previous step, will be soon installed. We are in such a position to announce that the detector will be fully commissioned by the end of July. Switching now to the Borexino physics goal, let me remind you, first of all, that so far, only 1 over 2,000 of the abundant solar neutrino flux was really measured in real time. New stuff at low energy, maybe, maybe not, but it's certainly worth having a look at it. As we heard also before during the talk of Carla, the beryllium 7 measurement is really fundamental. An experimental measurement is really fundamental for having an experimental comparison of the photon luminosity to the neutrino luminosity of the sun. And this will allow to check for non-standard energy production mechanisms in the sun. In the context of the beryllium 7 neutrino measurement, which is the main goal of Borexino, we are certainly interested in probing the transition from matter to vacuum oscillations expected around 2 to 3 MeVs in the favored MSW LMA scenario. We have also new results on the background in the region between 1 and 2 MeVs, which could open up for us the opportunity for a direct measurement in real time of PEP and CNO neutrinos. Borexino will also play a role in the next years as a supernova neutrinos observatory, and will also provide some interesting results in the field of geophysical antineutrinos. We expect some 20 events per year in our detector. Switching now to the expected beryllium 7 signal, I'd like to remind you that the current theoretical uncertainty in the latest standard solar model of Bacolt and Pinson-Noll on the beryllium 7 neutrino flux is at the level of 12%. The corresponding experimental uncertainty on the determination of the beryllium 7 neutrino flux is much higher and rates at the level of 40%. A 10% measurement of the beryllium 7 neutrino flux will upgrade our knowledge of this number by a factor of 4. Keeping in mind that the scattering cross section for electron neutrinos at the beryllium 7 neutrino energy is 5 times larger than for other species, we do expect in the currently favored scenario, LMA scenario, a reduced interaction rate for neutrinos at the level of 66% of the original standard solar model prediction. In this case, we'll have a signal from beryllium 7 of 30 events per day above the threshold. And the experiment itself will be in a very favorable position from a statistical point of view. In the span of 4 years, we expect some 45,000 events. So the accuracy of Borexino measurement will be most likely determined by the backgrounds and the systematic, and especially a careful evaluation of the background will be important for understanding our performance. The background classes for this kind of measurements and for any other measurements of neutrino through liquid scintillations, I'd like just to remind you the main classes of backgrounds in order of increasing difficulty. Background from long-lived isotopes, noble gases, the radon daughters, and finally the cosmogenic background, which will have a fundamental role for any attempt to measure PP and CNO neutrinos in liquid scintillators. In Borexino, we have the ambitious goal of keeping each source below 1 event per day in the fiducial mass and in our energy for observation of beryllium 7 between 250 and 800 keV. Touching briefly on the uranium and thorium background, the long-lived radioactive chains, the CTF, the prototype of Borexino Gran Sasso, was the first one in showing the feasibility of a measurement in a multi-ton detectors at the level of 10 to the minus 16 grams in uranium and thorium. For the next set of measurement, it's highly desirable a background of the level of 10 to the minus 17 grams per grams in uranium and thorium, as this will allow a precision beryllium 7 measurement and will allow also to open the PEP observation. We feel confident about the possibility of reaching this goal given the collaboration historical focus on cleanliness and development of purification methods. The noble gases, krypton 85 and argon 39, those are traces of radioactive contaminations present in air, which find their way in the liquid nitrogen, which is ubiquitously used in purification processes. Those pose as well a possible systematic problem as they are diffusive and penetrate thin plastics over time. And one needs to address really the overall contamination in the detector and the leaks over time to understand its own systematics. The goal is to have less than one event per day, and that translates into an activity of argon and krypton in the liquid nitrogen, which is some 10 to the 4 times lower, not higher, than what is currently found in commercial liquid nitrogen. Our strategy has been to search for commercial liquid nitrogen compliant with our very stringent specs. This has recently been achieved, and we'll implement a global purge of all the detectors with this nitrogen prior to the filling. Talking about the radon daughters, this is another class of difficult background. Those are airborne contamination. They deposit on surfaces, on exposed surfaces, and they can possibly wash off over time, triggering the problem of cross-contamination. We have the ambitious goal, again, of less than one event per day, and it will certainly help the experiment, the fact that the vessels have been built in very clean conditions, in a clean room, with an extreme control on surface contamination. Further testing may be needed in CTF for purification and cross-contamination, and we want to caution that the CTF sensitivity may be far from the Borexino ultimate needs, and we plan to address it with a peculiar filling strategy that I will touch on later if I have time. Cosmogenic background. I'd like to remind you, first of all, that cosmogenic nuclide production is related in a fundamental way to one of the main measurable rates in underground liquid scintillator detectors, which is the neutron production rate. Many of the cosmogenic nuclei are fast decaying in the order of under 2 minutes, and those can be completely tagged and removed by tagging with the parent muon. The most problematic nuclide is the carbon 11 nuclide, which is a positron emitter and pollutes the spectrum between 1 and 2 MeV, and does a mean life of 30 minutes. And we do expect from this some 14 events per day in our fiducial mass. It had been suggested a number of years ago by Martin Deutsch the possibility of tagging it in a threefold coincidence with the parent muon and the neutron capture. You do need to produce a neutron to knock off a neutron out of a nucleus of carbon 12 in order to produce a nucleus of carbon 11. And very recent results tell us that we could be able to knock down the carbon 11 background from the original figure of 14 events per day to less than 0.5 events per day in this window between 0.8 and 1.3 MeVs. The expected rate from PEP and CNO neutrinos in that window is of the order of 2 events per day. And at the figure of 10 to the minus 17 grams per grams of uranium and thorium, we do expect an internal background of 0.6 events per day. External background is of the order of 1 event per day in the full fiducial mass of 100 tons, fiducial mass for the beryllium 7 observation, but could be reduced by a factor of 10 by a slightly more stringent cutting radius. So we could really open up the opportunity for a real-time observation of one of the two basic reactions of the fusion cycle within Borexino. I will skip the filling strategy as my time is running up, and I will come to the conclusions of the current situation at Gran Sasso. As you might remember, there was a sequestration of the entire All Sea last year in May. The government subsequently declared a state of emergency and showed up a very strong commitment to repair the lab facilities. The contracts for the lab repairs have been assigned in early May, and the fixing of All Sea is to start very soon, maybe as early as next week, for an expected amount of time of 3 months. We recently won the endorsement from IRFN to the commitment that the collaboration will be back at work with PC, the pseudocomine, the scintillator, by the year's end. The collaboration is still strongly engaged and optimistic about the work, and agencies are still strongly committed to the experiment. I've concluded. Okay. Thank you.